It is now 8:30 Tuesday morning in France, and the world's attention is centered upon Paris, where French Premier Paul Reynaud is scheduled to make a speech. This is Bob Trout opening this Columbia broadcast, during which we shall try to bring you the Premier's speech, a scheduled address, which, because of this unusual hour, and because of the rumors that the Allied armies are preparing to withdraw from Belgian soil, has been awaited with deep interest. At this moment, the Allied armies in Belgium are reported to be in grave peril as Germany strikes with tremendous force to surround them completely. Spokesmen in Berlin are saying now that 1 million Allied troops in Belgium are completely cut off, and the great Battle of Flanders will be over in a few days. Now, apparently at this moment, no French station is now on the air with the speech of French Premier Paul Reynaud. We shall continue to monitor Paris to listen for a French radio station, and if the Premier does broadcast his address, we shall bring you his speech direct from Paris. The long-awaited Allied counterattack has, as far as we now know, not yet begun. But the latest dispatches from Paris describe thousands of French buses rolling out of the city, crowded with army reinforcements, who have been streaming out of the French capital toward the front for 24 hours. Crowds lining the wide French boulevards cheer on the soldiers and thrust gifts of flowers and fruit through the windows of the buses, which are decorated with such slogans as, "It won't be long now," and "We're on our way, Mr. Hitler." Here is some late news from Europe, which we've just received here in New York. The British-French-Belgian army, facing the double threat of complete isolation and disintegration, is fighting for its life today north of the Arras-Amiens Gap on the Western Front. The position of this Allied army, the Army of the North, so-called, numbering probably upwards of 600,000 men and possibly close to 1 million, is admittedly one of extreme gravity, and anxious comments in Allied quarters all over Europe indicate that it might at any time become most desperate. It's reported that the bitterest fighting of the war is in progress in the Menin-Courtrai area, just above the Franco-Belgian frontier. German mechanized and motorized forces and tens of thousands of German shock infantry are attacking continuously and relentlessly, seeking to drive to and beyond Ypres and cut the Army of the North in two. But there is a further threat that the Germans might also cut the army off completely from its Channel Coast bases and thus leave it faced with the prospect of annihilation. We believe that Premier Reynaud is ready in Paris, so for his speech, we take you now to Paris.
Nous avons répondu devant un camp arrêté depuis décembre dernier par les états-majors vaincus. Voilà, ici, en pleine bataille. Qui, jusqu'au 10 mai, avait toujours respecté d'attacher à la parole de l'Allemagne la même valeur qu'à celle des Alliés. Le roi Léopold II, sans prévenir le général Blanchard, sans un regard, sans un mot pour les soldats français et anglais, qui, à son appel angoissé, était venu au secours de son pays, le roi Léopold II de Belgique a dit par les armes. C'est là un fait sans précédent dans l'histoire. Le gouvernement belge m'a fait savoir que la décision du roi a été prise contre le sentiment unanime des ministres responsables. Il a ajouté qu'il est décidé, lui, gouvernement, à mettre au service de la cause commune toutes les forces de son pays dont il peut encore disposer, notamment à lever une nouvelle armée et collaborer à l'œuvre d'armement de la France. C'est à nos soldats que nous pensons. Ils peuvent dire, eux, que leur honneur est à attaque. Ils accomplissent sur tout le front un effort magnifique. Agir pendant 18 jours de bataille.
Premier Paul Reynaud, in speaking to the French nation, said that all France is thinking of her soldiers at this extremely grave hour.
Nos chefs et nos soldats forment un bloc dans lequel le pays a une confiance totale et qui sera demain l'admiration du monde. Nous savions que des jours grands reviendraient. Ils sont venus. La France a été un pays sans fois, qui n'est jamais abattu. Que nos courageuses populations du Nord s'en souviennent.
Premier Paul Reynaud, in speaking to the French nation from Paris, said that France's faith in victory is still intact. Premier Paul Reynaud said that the French troops are holding now along the line along the Somme River.
The strains of the French national anthem conclude this broadcast from Paris, during which we heard the address of French Premier Paul Reynaud, an address which has been awaited with deep interest all through the evening because of the admittedly grave situation of the Allied armies in Belgium. We regret that the reception of Premier Reynaud's speech here in America was not sufficiently clear to bring you a complete translation. However, you did hear a free translation as the Premier spoke. You also heard the translation, or rather I should say you heard in the translation, that Premier Reynaud told the French nation that at this grave hour, all France is thinking of her soldiers and, he said, is still confident of victory. And also Premier Reynaud said that the French troops are holding along the Somme River Valley. And now here is some further news about the position of those Allied armies who are virtually cut off in Belgium. So far, the Allied army has withdrawn from the Escaut, or sometimes called the Scheldt River, on the French side of the frontier as the nature of the fierce German threat became more apparent, and British and French tanks and infantrymen are counterattacking the German flanks as opportunity offered. London, of course, is aware that these swift German drives may speed a merciless attack upon the British Isles, and anxiety over this threat is reflected in an announcement today in London that registration of military classes under the conscription law will be speeded up. Men of 28 will register June 15th and men of 29 on June 22nd. You know that men of 27 years in Great Britain registered only last Saturday. These new registrations will take the conscript British Army above the 2 million mark and bring the total land forces to nearly 3 million men. Major General Bernard Paget was named Chief of General Staff of the Home Forces with the acting rank of Lieutenant General as First Assistant to General Sir Edmund Ironside, who is, you know, the new Home Commander-in-Chief. General Sir Henry Jackson was brought back from retirement to command the Western Department of Great Britain. Hope is expressed everywhere in Britain tonight that news would come soon of a big Allied counter-drive, which, of course, has been awaited ever since the appointment of General Maxime Weygand as Allied Commander-in-Chief. How serious this new German threat in Belgium is now considered in Great Britain is shown in this comment in two conservative British newspapers, and here are the quotations. The Daily Express on Tuesday morning in London says, "The war situation this morning is one of the greatest gravity. Developments over the weekend have resulted in worsening the position in northern France and Belgium. The British and French armies have been separated by a German thrust to the coast, and the coastline itself, including vital ports, is in peril of capture." That's a quotation from the London Daily Express. And here is what the Daily Mail is saying in London. "In detail, the battle line has changed to the disadvantage of the Allies. If German claims are correct, the situation of the Allied armies would indeed be perilous." And that is the quotation from the London Daily Mail of Tuesday morning. A hint of the potentialities of the situation in Belgium is given when a British officer and 12 men arrived at a south coast English port. They'd been in a French seaport town when the Germans advanced under machine-gunning airplanes, and so these Britons ran to the beach, swam a quarter of a mile, found a drifting boat in which a dead Dutchman machine-gunned was lying, and then drifted in the boat 24 hours before a hospital ship rescued them. The imminence of the German threat to Great Britain as the German forces, these great masses of infantry, sweep down toward the Channel ports and threaten to take in all of Belgium, caused the British government to urge parents to register their children for evacuation from danger areas. A spokesman in London said, "We regard the danger as real and close at hand." It was announced that 400,000 men have now volunteered for parachute duty, and these will aid regular troops in reporting and combating any German parachutist landings, seeking especially to keep any parachutists from getting automobiles or motorcycles and to hold key positions. The House of Commons reassembled today, 9:45 in the morning, Eastern Daylight Time, and it was not announced beforehand whether any statement on the war would be given during the day, but Alfred Duff Cooper, Information Minister, is expected to answer some questions about the war. I did get the London Times slightly mixed there. Of course, the House of Commons will reassemble Tuesday morning, 9:45, New York time, which will be later in the day in London. Now, here's what Berlin is saying tonight. German military experts in the German capital are declaring now that it's only a matter of days until the estimated 1 million Belgian, British, and French troops surrounded in Flanders must surrender, attempt to flee to England under a hail of German bombs, or be destroyed. The whole German press today, on Tuesday, is concentrated on this one theme: "We are sailing against England." And that, of course, is a quotation. Whether the German high command actually does plan an immediate invasion of Great Britain, however, is uncertain. There are observers in Germany who believe that the next effort will be a drive on Paris, which, if successful, would probably be followed by an offer of a separate peace to France. Spokesmen in Berlin are claiming that the Allied forces trapped in Flanders are fighting a desperate rear guard action to cover attempts at a mass embarkation for England. And here is a dispatch from Rome, where, as usual, the Italian decision whether to fight or not to fight is still being awaited or watched also with great interest. The Italian decision on the war course may be revealed on June 4th, they're saying in Rome now. The Council of Ministers will at that time hear Italian Premier Benito Mussolini report on preparedness measures and also on Italian power, and then the Council will discuss obligations under the Rome-Berlin alliance and may, of course, perhaps, decide on Italy's war role. Alexander Kirk, who is the United States Chargé d'Affaires at Berlin, went to Rome today to hold a conference with William Phillips, who is United States Ambassador to Italy and was once Undersecretary of State at Washington. Mr. Kirk is expected to stay in Rome for several days, but there's no indication as to the purpose of his conference, although it had been rumored that he was merely on a vacation and that he had been suffering from ill health. In Rome, the Vatican newspaper, Osservatore Romano, appeared on Rome newsstands once again tonight after an agreement between Italian and Vatican authorities providing that this Vatican newspaper henceforth will publish only official war bulletins with no comment at all. As you remember, the Osservatore Romano, until recent days, had been the only newspaper sold in Italy at all, which had given the Allied side of the war story. And then Rome, the official government in Rome, took measures against the Vatican newspaper, the Osservatore Romano. The Osservatore Romano was virtually banned from sale for several days. Now it has appeared once again, but now it prints only news bulletins with no comment on the war at all. We understand now that Edward R. Murrow, Columbia's correspondent in London, is ready to report to us from the British capital. So go ahead, London.
Earlier this evening, we were told by inspired comment in London that the news from the fighting front was increasingly grave. As you know, Premier Reynaud has just been making a speech to the French people. The exact words that we attempted to listen here in London, but a report has been coming in from British news agencies. It is reported that he began by saying, "I must announce to the French people a grave event which occurred during the night. Frenchmen no longer can count on the support of the Belgian army. Since 4 o'clock this morning, the British and French armies alone are opposing the enemy." Monsieur Reynaud went on to say, "Our armies have been divided into two groups. The French army is fighting on the Somme. The other group consisted of the Belgian army, British Expeditionary Force, and some French divisions under the command of General Blanchard. They were provisioned over Dunkirk." The French premier went on to say, "18 days ago, the King of the Belgians made his appeal for help to the Allies." And then again, according to the British news agency's report, the French Prime Minister said, "Without consideration, without a word for the French and British soldiers, which at his urgent appeal came to the aid of his country, King Leopold has given up the fight." "This," said Monsieur Reynaud, "is an event unprecedented in history. Informed me that the decision against the unanimous support of the Germans. Has always made France greater. We are more unanimous now than ever." And he said, "On the new line established by our great leader Weygand, in accord with Marshal Pétain, on the Somme and the Aisne, we shall hold out and conquer." And that is, at the moment, the extent of the news we have in London concerning the position in Flanders, and as much information as is at present available concerning tonight's grave speech, or rather this morning's grave speech, by the French premier. I return you now to Columbia in New York.
We have been listening to Edward R. Murrow reporting to us from London. We regret that also the reception of Mr. Murrow's broadcast was not quite satisfactory, and we trust that you understood much of it. Mr. Murrow succeeded in getting across to us a translation of Premier Reynaud's speech in much better shape than we were able to receive the original speech and broadcast to you slightly earlier. And now, here at our Columbia microphone in New York, is Major George Fielding Elliott, who has also heard Mr. Murrow's translation of Premier Reynaud's words and will now discuss the military significance of what the Premier said. Major Elliott.
The news which the French Premier, Monsieur Reynaud, gave to the world in his radio address to the French people, as given to us by a translation through British news agencies in London, is, if correctly reported, ominous indeed for the Allied cause. Monsieur Reynaud announces that since 4 o'clock this morning, French time, the Allies can no longer count on the support of the Belgian army, which seems to indicate that the Belgian government has made a separate peace with the Germans. Now, the Belgian army, which probably had some 8 to 10 divisions intact at this time, formed the left wing of what we have been calling the armies in Flanders. That is, the armies which the Germans claim to have surrounded in western Belgium and northern France. If the Belgians have now seized resistance and laid down their arms, it probably means that the German armies of General von Kirchler, forming the German right wing, can outflank the left of the British armies, which are next in line to the Belgian, and perhaps throw themselves into a gap which may now exist between the British left and the right of the French 7th Army in the vicinity of Dunkirk. It is, of course, possible that the French 7th Army and the British Expeditionary Force may be able to fight their way southward and join the main body of the French armies, which are described, according to this British translation of Premier Reynaud's speech, as holding on the new line established by General Weygand on the Somme and the Aisne. If this is possible, it will be a very remarkable feat of arms. The condition of these French forces in this northern area and of the British Expeditionary Force, due to the withdrawal of the Belgians from the fight, seems to be increasingly perilous under the hammer blows of the German attacks, which are being pressed home with the greatest vigor. However, all hope for them should not as yet be abandoned. What is clear now, if the Premier's address is correctly reported, is that France is going to be defended on the line of the Somme and the Aisne rivers, abandoning the whole of the French Channel ports and the French shore of the Straits of Dover to the Germans. And this is ominous indeed for Great Britain, for it gives the Germans secure possession of positions only 22 miles from British soil. It enables the Germans to blockade with heavy guns, with mines, with submarines, with aircraft, and with motorboats the narrow Straits of Dover. And that means, considering that the Germans are also in Norway, a virtual blockade of the Port of London and the whole east coast of the island of Great Britain, which will put a very great strain on the western ports of Great Britain and will produce changes and confusion in that island itself, which will be little short of a disaster. So that this news, if correctly reported, means a very serious turn in Allied fortunes in this war.
That was Major George Fielding Elliott here in our New York studios, giving you a spontaneous analysis of the translation of the speech of French Premier Paul Reynaud as we received that translation from London, given to us by Columbia's correspondent in London, Edward R. Murrow. Earlier during this broadcast period, we brought you the words of French Premier Reynaud as he spoke in Paris at the unusual hour of 8:30 in the morning in Paris. His speech had been awaited with great interest all through the evening, and there were many rumors about what the Premier would say. As you've heard Major George Fielding Elliott tell you, what Premier Reynaud said was that from this time on, from 4 o'clock in the morning, French time on, in fact, the Allies can no longer count upon the continued resistance of the Belgian army. We shall continue to bring you news as it occurs and as it comes in. This is Bob Trout speaking. Thank you. Columbia has remained open overtime tonight to bring you a talk by French Premier Paul Reynaud. Unfortunately, this broadcast from Paris was so marred by interference that it was not clearly audible here in America. But then Edward R. Murrow, Columbia's correspondent in London, brought us a translation from the British capital, which he had gathered from press association sources. And he quoted Premier Reynaud as saying that the Allies could no longer count on Belgium, an event unprecedented in history. The Premier went on to say, "A grave event occurred in the course of the night. France can no longer count on the Belgian army." Premier Reynaud said, "The Belgian army has surrendered on orders from King Leopold." This is Bob Trout speaking. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.